Hello, everybody. This is another episode of Touchdowns and Tangents. I'm Kenneth Berry.
And I'm PD Camarillo.
Yeah. At Ozone Grande. Shout out to Twitter.
At Pete Certified.
And we're here for another week to save you from the doldrum that is life in America right now. Post-election hysteria. Shit like that.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Okay, that's cool, Marshawn.
Is that corny now to say?
It really is. It's like making Harambe jokes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You mean like how people wrote in Harambe?
Yeah, like all 15,000 of those people, like I hope they get hit with a sledgehammer on their birthday.
But this is actually not about an election. This is actually about football.
Exactly. And we are going to lead in with, well, basically NFL divisions.
Hey, Kenneth, you forgot a really important part.
I know. I really did. Aside from, let me.
Forgot to say.
Let me finish.
The name of the podcast, what they're listening to. And
I said that already. I said that like.
Definitely didn't.
I said, this is Touchdowns and Tangents. I said that. But anyway, I said that first. But anyway, you can find us on Spreaker, the Spreaker app, Spreaker, because Pete can't say Spreaker. He can't say words with PR in it. He's allergic to the words PR. There, I said it. on top of that, you can find us on Twitter. Shout out the Twitter handle, Pete.
At TDs underscore tangents.
Also, you can find us in the iTunes store. Make sure to rate us, please, and share. Tell your friends about us. And the point of this podcast is to, well, educate, because this is the everyday podcast for the everyday type of fan who needs to see some actual real transparency, because a lot of these shows, let's be honest, are cookie cutter.
And we occasionally, you might catch us have a little debate, get on a little tangent. And we may cut each other off.
Like a lot. We do that a lot.
And we might yell and we might laugh. We may even cry and tear up. But we hope we put out something that you might actually want to listen to again.
And who knows? It might take your time off things for like 15, 20 minutes. Might be something you laugh at. Oh no. Use it for how you will. But anyway. Let you get started with the standings, Mr. Camarillo.
Wait. Aren't you talking about that, Kenneth?
Yeah, but I want to hear you go first.
All right, man.
Since I'm going NFC, you got to go AFC.
Well,
it's alphabetical order.
Are we talking about awards?
We're talking about standings. Then we will get to the awards. Because you can't talk about the standings.
See, this is why I usually moderate. This is why I'm a moderator.
Think about it. You can't talk about MVPs without talking about the record of the team. So we're talking about the record of the team first. Then we're going to talk about the MVPs. Genius.
All right. So I'm going to talk about MVPs. And you could talk about your standings.
You suck, dude. You suck.
I thought we were saving that for the end. The contenders and pretenders.
No, we're not. Damn, where were you? Where were you in show production?
Man, we're having back-end stuff right now on air.
We really are. Someone wasn't paying attention.
I definitely was. So
no, I don't think you were. Bottom line is, look, fine. MVP, we'll do it your way.
Thank you, because that's usually how we do it.
You're a male chauvinist pig. That's what you put out. Jerk. Talk about masculinity.
Well, it is the Trump era, so can I do that?
Why? I don't know. Do you even need to ask? That moment when politics seeps into a sports podcast and it gets too real for a couple minutes?
Have we even talked about sports in this first 2 minutes?
Not much. I'm trying to with these standings. Jesus, Pete.
Kenneth, all right, let me take control back of this podcast.
No, no, no. You're going to make podcasts great again? You asshole.
Ouch. Yeah, all right. So who's your MVP candidate, Kenneth?
I've lost the ability to speak, guys. The midseason MVP, without a doubt, is Derek Carr. But that's your guy, so I'm not going to pick him.
Damn, I can't pick Matt Ryan?
You were going to pick Matt Ryan?
I actually was going to pick Matt Ryan.
Son of a bitch.
And here's why.
I was going to pick Zeke, but whatever. I'm going with Carlin. I'm letting Derek drive the car.
Because I look at all the other teams, and I think the Falcons are really the team that surprised a lot of people. I don't think people realize that the Falcons would have one of the best records in the NFC. People thought, hey, they might slip into the playoffs as a wild card. But not a lot of people were expecting them to really dominate.
Yeah, I can agree with that, because they're actually consistently playing great.
And people are expecting them to, you know, lapse a little bit, but I don't really see any signs of it. Their defense is actually playing decent right now.
Yeah, Vic Beasley is one of the top 5 or 6 in the league in sacks. He has like 8.
But
7.5, right?
Are they for real? I don't know.
In the NFC,
but I'll get to that later in contenders and pretenders.
Oh, there you go. I like that tease. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Carr for the simple fact that he's the reason they've won these games. If they had bad quarterback play in every game that they've won, there's no way they're winning. It's not even close. And I'm gonna touch on some other reasons why I think he's the MVP again. You know, in the later section. But offensive player of the year, or offensive MVP.
I'll say the offensive player has got to be probably Ezekiel Elliott.
You bastard, that was my pick.
I mean, he's really the reason why the Cowboys are where they're at. You know, he's definitely in the MVP conversation. And if you're talking about giving the award to a quarterback,
you have to go to Dak Prescott.
I don't know. If you're talking about a quarterback, you may be looking at Derek Carr, because he may continue to put up really great statistics. And, you know, of course, Zeke's probably going to win Rookie of the Year, if not at least Offensive Rookie of the Year. So,
yeah.
I think, though, he's probably the offensive player.
Because they're going to give it to a quarterback. It's going to be Brady, Carr, Ryan.
I don't know. It's just to me, with the amount of running backs that there are in the league right now, and Ezekiel Elliott is coming on as like pretty much the premier feature runner. Like, you may, and he's carrying his team, and his team's actually about to be in the playoffs.
And he's only a rookie.
It's like, okay, so this guy might be for real.
Pretty horrifying when you think about it. He's only a rookie playing behind a line of all pros and pro bowlers. This line might actually be better than the Cowboys line in the 90s. Larry Allen and Tyrod Smith. Tyrod Smith's probably a better player than Larry Allen. Arguably. Yeah. I argue say Tyrod Smith would be the best lineman on either of those teams. Any of those Super Bowl winning teams. And this team, one of the best players.
And don't forget my boy.
You gonna make me say the name?
Yeah.
Zach Martin.
Yep. Can he get some love in this?
Yeah,
he's a Notre Dame player.
He's a Notre Dame player, and he's so great at his job. He suffers from Stephen Hutchinson syndrome. Be a great player for most of his career, and people don't talk about him enough. Or Alan Faneca.
So, Kenneth, who's your defensive player of the year?
Defensive player of the year? And this one's a tough one. Because I didn't want to factor in record into it. Like, I'm not going to give it to Lorenzo Alexander if he ends up leading the lead in sacks. I'm just not going to do that. You got to base it off the player, and it has to be Khalil Mack. There are other guys you could give it to. You could look at Vic Beasley, who has more sacks than him. You could look at Von Miller, but he's not winning it, let's be honest.
How about Aaron Donald?
No. The Rams are terrible. Khalil Mack is one of the reasons they close out games. He closed out that game versus Denver. Aaron Donald didn't close out the game against the Panthers, even though he played great. D-tackles aren't winning defensive player of the year, right?
Khalil Mack is a great player, and he had 2 really great games. But actually, when you're talking about consistency, like down to down, Khalil Mack makes plays. He's a smart player. He's strong. Yes. But Aaron Donald does some things that no other player does.
With his athleticism at that position.
Yeah. But, and it's the same thing with Khalil Mack. But as far as one-on-one, I'm not sure there's a better player than Aaron Donald right now.
I would agree. But it goes to the whole thing last year. I mean, were you...
And his team is terrible. The Rams are terrible.
Last year, would you have given J.J. Watt Defensive Player of the Year even though you saw Khalil Mack have 5 sacks in one game?
Well,
Khalil Mack... He had more of an impact, and he finished one of the highest grades in pro football focus.
Yeah, you're right. So, I think Khalil Mack should have won it last year. But he didn't.
It's the same thing this year. It's flipped. And he has more sacks.
Makes
That's
sense.
Why he's going to win now. Same thing with J.J. Watt. He's going to have more sacks.
Yeah, okay. You saw me.
And then it's...
But let's not forget the fact that you just picked 2 Raiders right now consecutively.
But argue you can honestly say the whole time we've had this podcast, I've tried to shy away from my Raider bias.
But you also can't forget the fact that the Raiders defense is ranked towards the bottom of the league.
It is, but that ain't Khalil Mack's fault.
But that's what kills it for me. That's why I say you and Aaron Donald are a little bit higher because their Rams defense is ranked at least towards the middle of the league.
Yeah, but you got to look at their offense. Their offense is basic, and it's just meant to chew up time possession.
Yeah.
The Raiders' offense takes chances.
It's true. All right, Kenneth, your comeback player of the year. I know this one you want to talk about.
Got to give it to Jordy Nelson. There's some other guys I was thinking of, but I'd give it to Jordy Nelson just for the simple fact he saved the Packers' offense.
Can white players win awards now?
White receivers? He's like tied for like one of near the top of the league in touchdown receptions with 7. I mean, and he's right. He's keeping the Packers in it. All the other receivers and other players are going down. They can't get a running back. You can always depend on Jordy Nelson. And this, I feel like he deserves more shine than he's been getting. So, you have to give it to him. He tore his ACL. Now, there's other guys that I'm thinking of that you could possibly give it to, but for right now, I gotta go Jordy.
I'll take that one. For me, I think one word that I will give to a Raider is Coach of the Year. Jack Del Rio. He deserves it, man. As long as he stays on this trajectory and Raiders finish with above 11 wins, there's no reason why he shouldn't get the award. You've seen how he's taken Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. They've gotten better from last year to this year. Same thing with Khalil Mack. You know, they've had a little bit of adversity with Alden Smith and, you know, they had a lot of injuries last year and Charles Woodson retiring. And so they've held it together. They brought in a ton of free agents on defense, and they're learning how to play together. They're getting better. Like, Jack Del Rio deserves it. Coach of the Year, Black Jack.
That's true, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. You might want to brace yourself, because you might void your bowels when I say this.
I can't believe
I'm going to say this. Jason Garrett. He's a viable candidate for Coach of the Year. Gets Ezekiel Elliott. Dez Bryant hasn't really been a factor all year. Has the guts to go with a rookie quarterback in Dak Prescott. And it's paid off. And the defense is actually getting better. That's what's scary. The Cowboys' defense is actually kind of good. It's ranked better than the Raiders.
Yeah.
They have way less talent. Way less talent on defense. And their defense is actually winning games to a point. So I would say you'd have to look at Jason Garrett. Belichick's always going to be in the hunt for Coach of the Year. Cause he's
Especially when Tom Brady misses 4 games.
Yeah, like he's one of the greatest coaches. So it's not
I
fair.
Agree, those are good
it's
candidates.
It's like giving Jordan an MVP award and like there's everybody else. Like you have to eventually give it to someone else.
I agree, those are all good candidates as well. But when you're talking about reversing a 13, 14-year playoff drought, and just ending that losing culture.
Yeah, I would say, I would give it to Del Rio, but you gotta look at how much.
But you're right, Garrett might be there too. He's the hot and he plays for the Cowboys and he's white. So there you go.
I was gonna say America's team, even though I didn't get a vote.
I'm just waiting for our president to come out and endorse him. Who's he gonna pick?
I'm just waiting for Donald Trump or Obama to be like, yeah, the Cowboys are officially America's team. Not. No one voted for that. No one voted. It's like the opposite of the election, whereas people just didn't vote this time around. No, it just happened and no one cleared it.
As you can tell, we're a little bit salty about the results.
No, I just hate the Cowboys. Like,
yeah, that too.
I've been saying, oh, Cowboys are America's team. I didn't get a vote. Did you get a vote? I don't know where that came from. If anything, I read an article a while back. They're saying that the Raiders now are really America's team.
They've always been.
Yeah, but no one wants to talk about that. They're blue collar. Always been blue collar.
But let's get off the tangent the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast.
Bottom line is, Coach of the Year, probably going to go to Del Rio. But don't be surprised, anybody, if Jason Garrett wins it.
Rookie of the Year, KB.
The same way I was shocked at the NFL Honor Awards that Teddy Bridgewater beat out Derek Carr, I'm kind of backing off Ezekiel Elliott as Rookie of the Year. I feel like something will happen down the stretch, and Dak is going to win it because he's already broken all Troy Aikman's like rookie Cowboy touchdown records, and he's becoming a better passer more and more throughout the season. And he's always been able to use his legs. Zeke, you know what he's going to do. You know he's going to be great. But the detractors will say he would not be leading the league in rushing if he was playing behind the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line. If he had gone to a different team, he would not be this great, this fast. Which is very arguable because the Cowboys have the undoubted, other than the Raiders, the best line in the league. Now, Rookie of the Year, my money as a betting man, down the stretch now, I have to say Dak Prescott.
I'm going to go with Dak as well because, I mean, Ezekiel came in, but he was already the question starter. Dak came in, and he's essentially beat out Tony Romo. Now, granted, that was because of injury.
He's pulling off a Tom Brady type thing, except he got drafted 4 rounds faster.
Exactly.
3 rounds faster, to be exact, my bad.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been critical of him, but he's still winning. And he's helping them win games. He's converting their downs that they need.
Throwing clutch touchdown passes.
And let's be real. Des Bryant's a great receiver, but like you said, he hasn't been the same player. Witten's getting up there in age. And somehow, Dak is still gone with Cole Beasley.
Yep. And he... Witten had a great game last week, over 100 yards.
Yeah, he can still get some for you, but he's not.
At this point, it's his offense, it's Dak's offense, and Dez and Jason and Cole and
they're all just playing in it.
Yeah, they're all just playing their roles, and that's what's making the Cowboys great.
Because I think before with Tony Romo, everyone was trying to be a stud.
He was just you was slinging the ball around. You knew what he was going to do. He wasn't going to take off and run. He wasn't going to make a magical play happen. Or he was going to bumble terribly. But now that you have Romo out and being more of an advisor and helping push him, I hate to say it, but it's kind of not Tony Romo's team anymore. But Tony Romo has the unquestioned respect of everyone on that team, as he should, because arguably, other than Aikman, there's not been many better statistically great QBs than Tony Romo. If you played for a lot of teams, if you played for Cleveland, they'd be much better.
Yeah.
They'd be a playoff contender.
All right, Kenneth. So, you know, we BS'd around for a little bit for the first couple minutes, so for the sake of time, let's go ahead and keep it moving. You know me, I always like to keep things West Coast-centric because that's where we live, that's where we stay. We try to body the East Coast bias. So on this episode of the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast, Kenneth, let's talk about what everyone else is talking about in regards to the Rams. Talked about rookies already. Jerry Goff still is not playing. Rams are 3-5. Should he be playing? Why is he not?
I think for the safety of his own mental state, you shouldn't play him. I would just tank this season if I was the Rams. They should just tank. They're not going to do anything. This receiving core is just not working. Gurley averages 3.1 yards a carry behind one of the worst run block, the worst offensive lines in the league. That's why I said last year.
And receiving core.
Yeah, that's why I said last year when everybody was like, "Oh, they're run blocking. They gave up like the fewest sacks." Yeah, that's because they never really passed the ball, and they were just really inept. Like they are not a team that will win anything this year. Seattle's run away with that division. You have Arizona, who is like a self-destructing bomb. And the Niners are terrible. You might as well tank and get better. Get them an offensive line next year. Get them a premier, running back. Not a running back, but a premier skill player in the draft next year. Because that offense and this team is going nowhere. They probably should get rid of Jeff Fisher because it's just bad now at this point. It's pathetic. So why start a kid and then ruin him his rookie year? Might as well just shut him down. Like, look, it's not your season.
Here's the thing, though. And I'm just going to build on kind of what you were saying. But I agree with you. Jared Goff probably should not play because there's not a lot of weapons around him.
There's nothing to gain.
David Carr, Derek's brother, actually wrote a column about this, and he took 76 sacks his rookie year, so dude knows about playing with no talent around him. He said, you can draw up as many things as you want, but you don't learn how to execute until you're out there playing. You can see plays and stuff, but you don't get the reads and stuff until you're playing live games. And Jared Goff needs that. And at the same time, if he's not getting that, maybe he's not as ready as we think he is. Either way, something that I've always said since they traded up to get this guy.
Mistake.
Not even just that. The Rams traded their future to go out and get Jared Goff. Not because they thought they were going to win now. Because they know football's exciting in LA right now. So people are going to watch it. And people are going to go to the games. They got 1 year of free hype. Next year, they come in with young Jared Goff making his premiere. Develop some excitement. Go out there, maybe get a free agent or two. Like you said, get a premier skill player in the first round.
But they traded away most of their picks, so I don't see how that's going to happen.
Trade him again. Do it again. Who cares?
Trade Goff. You got to trade Goff. You got to trade Gurley and draft a new running back.
Maybe.
Is he trade bait? That could. That's scary.
No, he's not going to get traded.
Is he trade
bait? No, he's not.
He has no trade value.
They're not going to trade him.
Doesn't matter, but does he have trade value?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, then. Don't put that past the Rams. They're desperate.
My whole thing is this, though. It's almost like the Carson Palmer situation, where you had a guy who's playing all right.
John Kitten is much better than
Let me finish. The difference is, I think the Bengals went like 8-8 that year, or 7-9.
8-8.
And this team might do the same. But where the mud is this going to help Jeff Fisher get fired? Or is he going to save Jared Goff for the next year? Is this the Byron Scott effect, where someone else is going to come in and really relate to this guy and help him get to that next level, when Fisher was just that dude to help this team in a tanking year when they knew they were going to struggle because they just moved? Like, we can't underestimate that impact that this team moved. A month before the season started, their whole operations uprooted.
But
homes moved, people moved.
I understand that, but LA's just happy they have a team.
That's what I'm saying. So do you give Fisher the benefit of the doubt because it's his first year?
No, you need to fire his ass because he's been there for what, like 6 years and he's done nothing. Eventually, you have to take credit for the mess that you make in life. And if you're not part of the problem, you're part of the solution. You're the head coach. So either you need to be fired or someone in that front office needs to be fired. Who is it? Because someone needs to go.
They both might need to go.
Because drafted terribly.
They're both up there.
Why not clean house? You're in a new city. Clean house.
That's what I'm saying. And so, should he be playing Jared Goff to get him ready for that or save him for that?
Even he's smart enough to know that if he has a shred of decency, I'm not going to ruin a young man. I'd rather redshirt you than put you out there and ruin you.
So then you don't think he's ready. So he's not the chosen one.
There's nothing to gain. You're not going to win a Super Bowl this year.
So then I guess the real question I'm asking here is, what can we expect from this team and their rookie quarterback a year from now?
I expect them to be 6-10 because they're probably going to be...
with a new regime. Under a new regime that's going to better him or make... that's going to better him, you think?
They'll be a highly competitive 4-12 or 5-11. With him as the full-time starter, but they have to add
with players the new coach. Draft.
With the new coach.
Young coach.
New scheme.
A rehash or...
a better offensive line.
A fresh head.
A mixture of the two. Better not be Marty Morningway or somebody like that. It has to be someone who understands offenses. You don't even need to touch that defense. Leave it alone. Like, honestly, the Rams defense has been fine.
They could use a run stuffer, though.
Well, then you get rid of Michael Brockers, but even then.
Greg Williams?
No. Well, look at the Saints defense now.
Would you bring him back?
No. There's other D coordinators out there, man. You could poach somebody's staff. Like,
all right.
Go to college.
All right. Well, enough talking about this week 3 and 5 team. Let's keep it moving. Contenders and pretenders. This segment substituting for our usual touchdowns and tangents, but it's basically the same concept. Rapid fire. Kenneth's going to call out a team. And I'm going to say if they're a contender or pretender, and I'll do the same for him.
And it's also sponsored by the good Wi-Fi at that one cousin's house. Your mama's basement or apartment, wherever you stay. Whoever's paying your phone bill. and member berries. That's who we're sponsored by. Oh, yeah, and Hood Chinese food. And ice cream shakes from anywhere that's good, except Wiener Central, because they're terrible there.
And the 46% of the population that didn't go out and vote. Shout out to you.
And the CSO men and women's basketball team. They're actually looking really great. Anyway.
Back to the show.
Yeah. So we're going to start with, well, arguably the best division in the NFC. NFC East. The Cowboys are 7-1. Giants are 5-3. Just beat the Eagles. Redskins are 4-3-1. And the Eagles are 4-4. Now, these four teams, you could say top to bottom, any one of them could. Well, we know the Cowboys are definitely winning.
But what's the question, Kenneth?
The question is, are there any pretenders in the NFC East?
You're saying all of them are contenders?
Are they? From what it looks like, mathematically, the Redskins and the Eagles are better than, other than the NFC East, they would either be in second or third place in every other division.
So are you asking me...
fight for first, actually.
But I think the real question is, are the Cowboys a contender?
They're 7-1.
Are they a contender, though? A Super Bowl contender? Yes or no?
Super Bowl contender? Yes.
Why?
For the simple fact, they have the best offensive line in the league. Their offense will forever keep them in games and give them a head start. And their defense is playing good enough, just enough to where... and Sean Lee's playing out of his mind, by the way. They're playing just good enough to keep them in games and preserve wins.
So are the Giants a contender?
The scary thing is, you could say yes.
Why?
Because they started off typically like Giants teams that make it in the Super Bowl. Like, they got a pass rush, and they have people who can rush the passer. Coverage-wise, they have guys who can cover, whether they give up big plays or not. And this offense is explosive. Even without a running game, when they've never really had a great running game.
And the Redskins.
The Redskins, that defense is playing lights out, as always. And the offense is there. They're just stagnant because of Kirk Cousins. But Matt
they're
Jones...
They're a pretender. Yeah, because they don't have the...
offensive stability.
They have enough good players to be competitive and win games, but they don't have any game changers at any of the key skill positions.
I feel like it's the quarterback's fault because DeSean Jackson.
They have B minus players.
So you're saying they don't have any alphas on offense?
Exactly.
That's fair.
And DeSean Jackson, you should have came to Oakland, man. Sure. That's on you.
He really should have came to Oakland. He chased the money.
You chased the money when millions of people were tweeting you to go to Oakland.
Come back to Cal.
Whatever. That's on you.
Damn, imagine him in the Raiders offense. That's a Super Bowl title. What happened?
Alright. Let's keep it moving. So, Kenneth. AFC West. Are the Broncos a contender? Because we already know the Raiders are. We've already talked about that enough. Are the Broncos a contender? Yes.
Yes.
Why?
For the sole reason that defense is too good for them not to be in games. Even with the injuries, they're good enough to catch fire, to limp into the playoffs and catch fire on the right team. Mainly the Chiefs, who they can beat. And let's be honest, I don't see any other, like, for example, the AFC South. None of those teams have the capabilities to beat the Broncos. So there's really only about four teams in the AFC who can actually beat the Broncos. Honestly, I say three.
Okay, so are the Chiefs a contender?
Or a pretender? They're pretenders.
Why?
They're falling apart at the seams. Let's be honest. Justin Houston's trying to come back.
They're 6-2.
Alex Smith is not a Super Bowl.
Really? Because he got him to a... NFC Championship?
The defense got him to an NFC Championship. He just threw the right pass at the right time. But when it comes down to it in the playoffs, we have seen it. The Chiefs' offense goes cold. And their defense can only hang so much. That offense is not elite like that. It's not an elite offense. You can't tell me the Chiefs have an elite offense right now. They have functionally great football players. Spencer Ware. Charkandrick West. They find guys who will make plays when you need it.
Chargers. Are they a pretender contender?
They're not even going to make the playoffs, dude. Well, you said that to be evil.
No, because people are talking about them being a sleeper team, and I don't see it.
They're a sleeper team to win six games and ruin everybody else's playoff hopes? Yeah. They're pretenders. Moving on.
Patriots.
They're obviously contenders. Moving on.
I don't even know who's winning that. AFC South, so let me look at the standings real quick.
AFC South or NFC South?
The AFC South.
The Houston Texans are 5-3, who got shellacked by, guess who? The Broncos.
So they're obviously pretenders.
To win the division? We gotta go to win this division, because I don't think any team from this conference or this division is winning a Super Bowl.
No, we don't have to break down the whole division. I'm not trying to waste any my precious breath on them.
I think the Titans are contenders for the AFC South title.
And nobody cares. So, let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Atlanta Falcons. Are they contenders or pretenders?
They are contenders.
Why?
That defense, they've had two shutdown corners in Alford and... Trufant, their pass rush is getting much better with Beasley, and what's his face, the linebacker out of LSU. Why am I forgetting his name? I can't remember his name right now. I'm totally spacing on it. But Deion Jones, there we go. Deion Jones out of LSU has been a godsend for my linebacker, and he's their perfect coverage guy. You have him, Warlow's holding down the middle. That defense is getting better, and it's becoming more respectable. That offense, you can't stop. If you stop Julio, you got to stop Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman. And Tevin Coleman averages like 15 yards a catch, legitimately, for running backs. His yards per catch is better than a lot of NFL receivers coming out of the right field. So it's almost impossible to stop that Falcons offense.
All right. Packers, are they contender? Because I know you think the Vikings are a contender. Are you going to backtrack because of all their injuries?
The problem is they're both contenders, but they cancel each other out.
Like 3 through 5, you were set on the Vikings as a contender.
Still so. Am. They're contenders, but the Packers and Vikings cancel each other out for a Super Bowl. Neither of these teams is winning the Super Bowl. It's not happening. No one in the NFC North is winning a Super Bowl.
Lions, are they a contender for a playoff spot?
They're contending for a wild card, yeah.
So you think they can get in? You think they will get in?
I think they'll get in. I think they'll steal the 6th seed.
So then
they're good enough to do it.
I know we already kind of touched on this, but you must think Matt Stafford is an MVP candidate.
No, because the record's not good enough. But he's playing the best he's ever played in his life. Because he's been forced to be great without...
They can still win the division. Kyle
Johnson. Yeah, they can.
So if they win the division...
But they're the Lions, so they're not going to win the division. They're the Detroit Lions, and I'm winning the NFC. This is not... Okay, you got me on the Cubs.
I mean, isn't 2016 the year of defeating 3-1 upsets?
You've been waiting to say that, haven't you?
Of course.
That's foul. Because they're 3-1 at home.
So since you were just riding the Falcons for a while, let's get back to the South. The Saints. Are they a contender?
Their defense is too bad. They're not a contender. They're just not.
And in the West, are the Seahawks a contender?
Seahawks are first in the division, so yeah. They're always going to be...
Super Bowl contender.
Surprisingly, yeah.
They can win it.
Yeah. They're doing running back by committee, and they're getting by. They have injuries, but they're getting by in tough games.
So you think that offensive line is going to hold up through December and January?
No, but it won't have to, because Russell Wilson has finally become a quarterback who can pass. And be a threat to pass every time. So, yeah. They're contenders to win it all. You can't count out that team.
Therefore, the Cardinals are a pretender?
Yeah.
For a playoff spot as well?
They played themselves.
For a playoff spot?
Yeah.
So,
their quarterback
is it time
so
to
bad.
Blow it up?
It's time to blow...
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, it's time to blow Carson Palmer up.
Head coach?
Nah, you gotta keep Arians.
You like Arians?
You gotta give him at least one more shot, man. He made y'all almost Super Bowl contenders incredibly fast. You owe him that much. You owe him at least 4 or 5 years with this team. And he's what, in his 3rd year?
Yeah.
You owe him at least 2 more seasons.
Alright, Kenneth. Well, let's close it out. You know how this goes. But since... You know, a kind of big day event kind of just happened. The thing everyone's been talking about, we've kind of made casual jabs at it, but we haven't really touched on it because everyone else is. So instead, we're going to keep it short to 1 minute per. Just kind of wrap it up because guess what? We still need to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, Kenneth, go ahead.
Okay, so Donald Trump won the presidency, and everyone across the world was crying, oh my God, this is terrible, this is the worst thing ever. And yeah, and we can point to the statistics about how it's certain groups' faults who didn't vote, and all this voter suppression, all that. But the fact of the matter is, well, hey, I wasn't shocked by any of this. Now America has to realize you have to really take part in the political process if you expect change, because you can't just say you're liberal or say you're progressive and do nothing about it. That's not good enough anymore. 8 years under Obama and we say we're progressive, but if we were so progressive, it would have been easy to completely shut down the likes of a Donald Trump if we were really as progressive as we said we were. But the problem is people got lazy, people got complacent. I would argue that it's kind of like waiting to study the night before the final. Whereas that one kid who was probably an idiot in the class got with a bunch of other idiots and came together and they managed to pass it. They passed it, but you failed. They passed the class, but you failed. You got to live with that. Now, I'm going to just end it on this. Plain and simple. People, you need to educate yourselves. Understand that there are people out there who want to do horrible things to you. And if it's not an indication that we don't live in a post-racial America doesn't exist, I don't know what else, more proof you need. Maybe it's not bad enough yet. But now you can realize that this whole PC culture thing that we live in, you really need to cut it out and be honest with yourselves.
All right, man. Well, Kenneth, I think you made some really good points. I snap to what you say. My whole thing is this. We can get upset all we want, but at the end of the day, man, we did this. The people that didn't go out there and vote, the people that rode in Harambe, the people that, you know, voted for third parties because they just didn't like either of the candidates, you know, vote for who you think is the best, man. Forget the party ties. Just vote. And don't be upset with the outcome because you didn't vote. Either way, man, I think all of us as people got to look into the mirror and just say, what role did I play in this happening? Is there something else I could have done? Could I have, you know, participated? Could I have voted? Should I have ran? Should I get involved in politics? Should I become a political reporter? What can you do to make this country better? Because that's what my boy JFK said. It's easy for us to just say we can leave and stuff like that. But for those of us who've been born here and for those of us who haven't, it's about having a national pride. And at this point, we really shocked the world. So the very least, it proves anyone can be president. Well, we're way over time here. So, Kenneth, I just want to say, let's make this 2017 a great year.
Indeed. And because my birthday is during Black History Month, so we really got to start it off cracking. Because I'm not going into 2017 lame. I graduate college next semester, after all.
Welcome to the big world. Well, this is the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. I'm at Pete Certified.
You just said podcast. Sorry. It was funny the way you said that. I'm Ozo Grande. Ozo Grande means Big Bear in English and Spanish.
And our special edition on Saturday, extended version, is officially over. We're usually on Thursdays about 8. You can catch us then. Peace.
Deuces.